Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Market, the New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Barnes takes one from Vasquez and a 2-2. High fly ball deep left field, and forget about this one. It is totally out of the ballpark.
Oh, my God.
Jose Abreu on the 10th pitch of the at-bat has given the White Sox an 8-7 lead.
I mean, to tell you, what an at-bat by Abreu. What a shocker.
Wow.
More like a kick in the head, Eck, if you ask me. Complete kick in the head. What an absolute gut punch that was yesterday at Fenway Park. Red Sox losing to the Chicago White Sox. 8-7 was the final. After the Red Sox really almost pulled out a game they had no right winning, frankly. And I got a lot to catch up with you all on the Red Sox here. Been out for a few days, but back in here tonight. So we got a lot of ground to cover. Starting with that Red Sox bullpen. 617-779-0985. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, will open up the phone lines right away. So by all means, call in. I'd love to hear from you. And I'd love to get your temperature and your thoughts on your baseball team. Because believe me when I tell you, nothing, and I mean nothing, can rip out the heart of a baseball team like a bad bullpen. Nothing can destroy the morale of a team like a bad bullpen, particularly a team with a hangover and that has had a hangover for the majority of the year. Nothing will kill a bad kill a team like a bad bullpen. Nothing. And the Red Sox right now have a bad bullpen. Boy, is it bad. They have the most blown saves in the American League, the Red Sox do, the second most in Major League Baseball. Do you know, Murray, that only the New York Mets have blown more saves than the Red Sox this year?
I do, because they are a complete dumpster fire, and they blew another one today.
The New York Mets. You do not want to be mentioned in the same breath as the New York Mets with anything. Ever.
That's a good point.
Ever. You never want to be mentioned with the Mets anything, let alone this year when it is, as Murray said, a dumpster fire with all that has gone on down there in the last several days and the complete mess that the Mets are. You do not want to be that. Okay? As in terms of Matt Barnes, Matt Barnes is tied for the most blown saves in all of Major League Baseball at 6. Matt Barnes in save opportunities this year, 4-10. 4-10. Now look, a good closer, a good one, is going to blow saves almost 20% of the time, maybe 15. The great ones are up in the 90s. Barnes is at 40%. So the question is, who do you blame for this Red Sox bullpen? Do you blame Alex Cora? Do you blame Dana Lavangie, the pitching coach? Do you blame the relievers themselves? Do you blame Dave Dombrowski? Who do you blame? And if it's a little bit of everyone, that's fine too, because typically things are not 100% anything. There's usually a complicated answer to just about every question. So I'll tell you the part that I find stunning about the Red Sox bullpen right now is not necessarily that they've been bad, because coming into the season, we all knew that it could be bad. What I find stunning is the fact that I think the Red Sox actually thought that it would be good enough. And I don't mean that they thought it would be good. That they thought it would be good enough. That they thought with the bad competition in the American League and their ability to score and their ability to beat up on the opposition, that they'd be able to get around a bad bullpen. And they haven't been able to. And then I see a comment like this from Dana Lavangie in the Globe today. And I've said this to you before, and I just, in the interest of full disclosure and a disclaimer, because I really like Dana. He's a really terrific guy, an extremely bright guy, particularly as it comes to baseball. I mean, he's got baseball insights that pros who have worked in the industry for decades don't have. Okay, Dana's sharp. But Dana said about the Red Sox bullpen, we have the people here to get it done. We firmly believe it. We're going to ride it out, and we're going to end up winning more games than we lose, and we're going to have a successful year. We have the pieces to do it. We've just got to get everyone healthy and fit them into the right spots. So two things. First of all, win more games than we lose. Since when is that a goal? I mean, we're going to end up winning more games than we lose. So, like, the Red Sox are going to go 82-80, and that's okay? No way. And I think he probably just misspoke there. Maybe he means the bullpen will win more games than it loses. Either way, I think he just slipped up. But the other part of it, we believe we have the people here to get it done. Jimmy Stewart, do you believe they have the people in the bullpen to get the job done?
Nope.
Murray, do you?
Of course not.
Does any Red Sox fan believe that they have the people in the bullpen to get the job done? Because I don't. I would like to hear from one, in fact. If you're out there, tell me why you believe that they have the pieces in the bullpen to get the job done, because I don't believe that.
ddombrowski@redsox.com will be sending you an email shortly.
I don't believe that for a second. And you know what? Deep down, neither do they. Although I will say at the beginning of the year, when Alex Cora fed us in spring training the idea that, oh, we got arms, we got stuff, we just got to use them in the right spots, I think the Red Sox actually believed that. I think that the Red Sox thought it would be enough to get by. And again, if you look at it in retrospect, had they not re-signed Steve Pierce because they knew that Chavis was coming, they could have used that money towards a reliever. The fact that they did not add any bullpen help at all, Felger said today, he used the word negligent, and I think that's a good point. It's a good word. Negligent. To not add any bullpen help to that team was negligent. And now it's biting them in the ass. 16 blown saves. So now they haven't lost all of those games. They've came back and won some of them. But I went through this morning and I found a half dozen without even really putting in much of an effort that even if they had lost only two of those six, they'd be four games closer to the Yankees. They'd be in the division. There are lots of reasons the Red Sox are where they are. The bullpen's number one on the list, I think. There's another reason that we'll get to a little bit later in the show that's also a big reason and was also on display yesterday at Fenway Park. But let's get to your calls, and let's go to Nick, who's in West Roxbury. Nick, go ahead.
Hey, I first like to go on record to say that I'm a Red Sox fan. But when the Red Sox lose, I want them to lose the way they did last night. Because it exposes Dave Dombrowski for what he really is. A mediocre GM that doesn't know how to build a bullpen. It doesn't take, you know, a rocket scientist to figure out you got to sign David Price, Chris Sale, Craig Kimbrell, and J.D. Martinez in the offseason. Other than that, what has he given to this team besides nothing? This is primarily a Ben Cherington team, and it will always be a Ben Cherington
well,
team.
Well, Nick, that second part is not true, okay? That second part is not true. Now, you can say that there are pieces here from Cherington, and certainly there are. Actually, I think Bogarts was a Theo Epstein guy. Mookie Betts was a Theo Epstein guy. I'm trying to think of who Cherington's acquisitions are, Jimmy, that are left on the roster, and I don't think there are many Cherington guys at all. Brock Holt was a Cherington guy. He acquired Brock Holt. Jackie Bradley was a Theo guy. I don't think there are many Cherington guys left. Hanley Ramirez, Sandoval, those were Cherington guys. Rick Porcello was a Cherington guy. But the rest of them? They're mostly Dombrowski guys.
Ruzny Castillo, Cherington. Oh, yep. Wait, sorry.
Okay, so he's in the minors, but he was a Cherington guy. There aren't many. Cherington was not here that long. They won a World Series in 2013, but we all know that was a team of transients. Brian's in North Attleboro. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, I think Dombrowski has basically picked their minor league system clean, and he did the same thing for the Tigers, and he's basically left their cabinets bare to the point where now they have no assets to trade to be able to get bullpen relief. So, I mean, I don't know where they're going to go from here because they have nobody to trade to get bullpen relief.
Okay, so Brian, listen, in terms of the bullpen, it's hard to get around Dombrowski. Okay, because they're short in personnel out there, and I think that's where everyone would start is with Dombrowski. The team being where it is, what or who do you blame for that?
I think it's a combination of the team, the players as a whole, mixed with Dombrowski. Because I think they were set up for failure at the beginning of the season with this bullpen.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Just leave the bullpen out of it for a second, because I think that this is too easy a thing. What the hell is that noise?
A microwave. I think his soup is done.
Okay. I just dropped him. It's either that or there's like a truck backing up. God, that was so annoying. Was it just me that was driving crazy?
No, I was starting to drive.
Seriously, there was driving absolutely batty. Oh, my gosh. I lost my train of thought. Leave the bullpen out of it for a minute. How many guys on this team have met or exceeded expectations? How many? Two?
Three, four.
Okay, so and you know what? I'm talking about positional players.
Okay,
now.
Yeah, so two. Devers and Bogart.
That's it. Maybe Vasquez. Maybe Vasquez,
because
he's got look and
there's
I
some pop in his bat.
Right, he's got 9 homers or 10 homers or whatever the number is. But the rest of them, Betts, underachieving. Benintendi, underachieving. Bradley, please, let's not even go there. That one's an old one. Second base has been a disaster. Chavis, I could give you, is probably overachieving in the grand scheme of things or the big picture. But the fact is, he really hasn't done anything now for quite a while. Moreland, Pierce. Moreland may be overachieving, but he's always hurt. Pierce, underachieving. Go right around. J.D. Martinez, not the same level that he was last year. Go right around the roster. So, look, the bullpen is up there on the list. It's not the only reason. Okay, it's not the only reason. And the starting pitching is there, too. That's also been a problem. One guy in particular, who we'll get to in a minute. Colby's in a car. Colby, go quickly.
Hey, so, yeah, I think the blame really is divided amongst the three, Dombrowski, Cora, and the players. And least so on the players. Like, Cora needs to set some roles. Like, look at them in the playoffs last year. They had roles, and they exceeded their expectations. He's throwing out Workman. He's throwing out Barnes. He's throwing out Brazier. He's throwing out all these guys in random innings, where if you set the roles of these players, they have the stuff to succeed, but they aren't given the opportunity to kind of establish a routine.
Okay, so, Colby, I'll tell you what. You touch on something interesting with regard to the bullpen. Because the identity of the closer really has been unclear. I suppose it's been Barnes, but Barnes pitches in the eighth a lot too. At the beginning of the year, Brazier was getting save opportunities. So this whole closer by committee nonsense and what I call stupidity, because it just doesn't work. The idea is that somehow you can plug a guy in at any time and you expect him to just adapt. And the reality is that human beings need time to prepare. The more information you can give them ahead of time and let them prepare, mentally or otherwise, it makes all the difference in the world. So I found this comment interesting, or this paragraph interesting in the Globe today. Asked if he might consider his flexible approach to the late innings. I'm sorry, to late inning high leverage roles. Cora did not offer a yes or a no answer. He cited the upcoming 3 off days surrounding the London trip, 2 before, 1 after, as an opportunity to reset and rest the bullpen. Again, asked if he might reconsider his flexible approach to late-inning, high-leverage roles, Cora did not offer a yes or no answer. Now, I suppose there are 2 ways to read that. One is that Cora is going to reconsider it, and he doesn't want to tell anybody. Or the answer is no, and he doesn't want to get into some sort of debate and get second-guessed on it. The bottom line at the end of the day is the Red Sox are short on personnel in that bullpen. But there have been a lot of factors that have contributed to it. When we come back, we're going to play an interesting game, or a new game that we're going to try on this program. We did it on Felger and Maz this afternoon. It's called You Suck, But We Suck Worse. We'll explain what that is when we come back.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random 2x found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, you got to continue to execute pitches. I don't know if it was 10 or 11, but in the entire at bat, the only mistake I made was the one he hit. It's unfortunate. I executed damn near every single pitch that I wanted to him. And the one that didn't get there, he hit a homer on. So it's tough to swallow when you execute 90% of the time and the one time costs you the game.
It's Matt Barnes. He of the 6 blown saves, tied for most in the major leagues. I didn't love the comment. his assessment of it. And again, if he didn't hear it, Jimmy Stewart just played it for you. But Barnes essentially says, well, you just got to continue to execute pitches the entire at bat. The only mistake I made was the one he hit. It was a 10-pitch at bat, and Barnes is basically saying, well, you know, I made all the pitches I was supposed to, and it was just the last one wasn't where it was supposed to be. What? My question to that is, what? Like, so if you make one mistake in any at-bat, there's a chance a guy hits it out of the ballpark. If you make it like the one you made it, it's an 8-7. It's a 7-6 game at the time. You lose 8-7. But you're up one. There's a man on. And by the way, Barnes faced three batters yesterday. Single home run. He got lucky because the first guy got thrown out stealing. So the idea that, boy, I executed every pitch I need to in that at-bat. Well, what about the other two at-bats? You got yourself into the mess. If that was the only at-bat that didn't matter, I'm sorry, if that was the only at-bat that mattered, well, then you would the game would have been tied. It wouldn't have been over. But no, they blew it. And the frustrating part for me in that game yesterday is that, oh, the White Sox wanted to give it to you. They did. They wanted to give you the game. Oh, my gosh, the whole thing really, as I like to say, the whole thing was a contest of who could suck worse. That whole game yesterday really was. It was a contest of who could suck worse. You suck, but we suck worse. That was the whole thing from the very beginning. So again, go right to the start. Sale comes out of the gate, gives up three runs in the first inning. You suck. But the White Sox go out, they give up two right back. They suck worse. Sale gives up a couple of more. Now you're down three runs again. It goes like this, really. You leave men on base all day long. Nonetheless, you're within two going into the eighth. You are then two runs going into the eighth inning, despite the fact that really you've sucked pretty much all day. I mean, you have. You've stunk the whole day. So you're down two going into the bottom of the eighth with a man on. And so we pulled out actually four plays from the game. And I've slugged them in the system, in our audio system. Sox suck 1, 2, 3, and 4. And the Sox, by the way, could be the Red Sox or the White Sox because it was a battle of the Soxes. So, you know, again, it's like the term unisex. Anybody can use it. So we did. We played this stupid little game, Murray.
Well, you can't lose with this labeling.
6-4. 6-4 in the bottom of the eighth. When this happened, Jimmy, please, Sox suck one.
I pop up to right. Coming on is Jay sliding down the line. That ball's in fair. It's going to bounce into the stands. Just inches fair.
No, that ball's in the air for days. I mean, what a break for the Red Sox.
Yep, and it fell in. Ground rule double for Brock Holt, even though he didn't deserve it because the White Sox suck. That's really the bottom line. That's how that whole thing went. So, nonetheless, men on second and third. It's still a 6-4 game for the White Sox. They still have a chance to get out of it when Sox suck number two happened.
Bounding ball to third, gathered by Rondon, who got home, plays a plate save.
I don't understand the play at the plate.
Me neither. I don't understand the play either. Really, again, you have second and third, one out. Ground ball to third, behind the bag. Jose Rondon, all he has to do is field it, throw Mookie Betts out. The White Sox are still up by a run, and all they need is an out to end the inning, and they're in good shape. No problem. They were up two going into the inning. Nope. He tries to throw to the plate, get a tag out instead of a force out, which he could have had at first. Ass backwards, if you ask me. Nonetheless, the Red Sox end up rallying. Bogarts hits a ball in the left center. Now the Red Sox are up a run. So they get the game in the bag, right? Wrong, incorrect, because the White Sox get the lead man on. Now it feels like they're going to rally, which brings us to Sox suck number three.
He's running.
Oh,
here's the throw down. The tag! Got him! They cut him down!
Talk about risky.
Talk about stupid. Lurie Garcia. Talk about stupid. Again, the White Sox get the tying run leading off the inning. They try to steal and get thrown out. So now Matt Barnes has another life. Matt Barnes then ends up giving up another single, which brings us to the final and ultimate suck of the day, which is Sox suck number four.
High fly ball, deep left field, and forget about this one.
Oh, my God.
Jose Abreu on the 10th pitch of the at-bat has given the White Sox an 8-7 lead.
Yep. 8-7 lead and an 8-7 victory because at the end of the day, the ineptitude of the Red Sox bullpen is a trump card in the game of who sucks worse. That thing, the White Sox wanted to give you that game yesterday. That is the frustrating part of it. They wanted to give you the game, and you gave it back. The Red Sox never had the lead until the bottom of the eighth. They were chasing the whole day. They dug themselves an early hole. Then they got the lead, and the bullpen blew it. Just like they blew the 6-0 game against Toronto the week before. Over and over and over. Again, nothing, nothing will cut the legs off a team like a bad bullpen. Justin in Shrewsbury has an idea for how to fix it. Go ahead, Justin.
Hi. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on them possibly trying to acquire the lefty closer from the Giants, Will Smith. They're going to be like pretty big sellers with Bumgarner probably on the move, so we might be trying to deal him too, but it'll probably take a lot. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts and what we would have to give up if we even have the assets available to get him. Thanks.
Okay, so Justin, look, they have the assets. And I don't know a lot about Smith's contract status. I know what kind of year he's having. He's got, is it 21 saves he has? I think he has 21 saves this year. And in 32 innings, I'll tell you a couple of things I like about Smith. First of all, he's having a career year. Okay, in 32 and a third with the Giants, 49 strikeouts. He has an ERA of 1.95, 7 walks. Oh, I love the 7 walks. Now, historically in his career, he hasn't thrown strikes with the frequency he's thrown them this year. I don't know if he's a free agent at the end of the year. He's 29 years old. The fact that he's left-handed, I do like that. So, you know, my guess is he's a relatively low-salaried player. I'll look up the contract in a minute. But, look, they need a guy who can close games. There's no two ways about that. Carl's in Grafton. Go ahead, Carl.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that, you know, the bullpen, you can bend but don't break, right? I think the difference, even between, like, the Yankees and the Red Sox in terms of the bullpen is that Yankees' bullpen looks better because they might give up a run with a 2-run lead instead of blowing the game like Barnes did. And I just feel that the Red Sox will never get out of the hole they're in if they don't go on like an absolutely torrid pace to, you know, maybe even starting this weekend, beating the teams they need to beat. And it'll go into September before they even sniff, you know, 4 or 5 games behind the Yankees if everything keeps going like this. I'll hang up and hear what you got to say.
Yeah, thanks. Carl, listen, forget the division. Okay, forget the division. I think the division's over. What are they, 9 out?
Is it 9? That's correct, yeah.
9 in the loss column?
They're not getting the division.
And they now have 80 games to go. You're going to make them 9 games on the Yankees in a span of 80? I don't think it's going to happen. I think the division's gone. I do. I think it's over. Right now you're fighting for a wild card spot. The Red Sox are on pace for 88 wins. It's going to take 90-ish to get it. Usually it's right around 90. Maybe you can get it with 89. Maybe you can get it with 88. Maybe it'll take 92. I don't know, but right around 90. Can they get the wild card spot? I would hope so. I would imagine that they have the talent, and especially given the competition, to get the wild card spot. But I think the division is toast. They are going to need bullpen help. There's no two ways about it. The bullpen also is not the only problem on the team. It's not. There's a guy who played or participated yesterday who's been a big, big problem this year that nobody really wants to acknowledge as such, or at least most people don't. We'll tell you who that is after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
The show the Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporter's 98.5, The Sports Hub.
How about Steve Pierce?
This is why the Red Sox want to get Steve Pierce.
The MVP of the series, plus 2,200. Steve Pierce is my long shot pick.
Steve Pierce, it's my pleasure to present to you the Willie Mays World Series Most Valuable Player Trophy.
This is the DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Night with Mavs.
Every Thursday, we try to give you one fantasy pick that we think will hit for you. So if you're going to play fantasy tonight, again, a lot of games today in Major League Baseball. Limited number of games tonight, but Before we give you that, just a reminder, you can play free fantasy baseball this season with the promo code BOSTON when you make your first deposit on DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball. Again, the code is BOSTON. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. So typically I try to give you like a dark horse or a long shot in this thing. Tell you what I'm going to do tonight. There's a right-handed kid pitching in Colorado whose name's Peter Lambert, and he's going against the Dodgers. I love the Dodgers against right-handed pitching, let alone in Colorado, which, again, has one-sixth of the gravity of the moon, let alone the earth. So the ball just shoots out of that place. And Max Muncy in the lineup tonight. Do you know what? This year in Colorado, Max Muncy is 5-for-8 with two homers, a .625 average, and an OPS of almost 2,300. Now, Muncy's expensive. I think he's $5,400 tonight. But you can play him at second base. And then fill out your lineup with other places, with other players, rather. So my pick tonight is Max Muncy in Colorado. 617-779-0985 is your number. Red Sox are off tonight. They will play in London tomorrow. No, wait a minute. Saturday and Sunday against the Yankees. Sunday. Right, they have 2 days off going in. I keep thinking today's Friday. They will play Saturday and Sunday against the Yankees in London. They have Monday off. They will fly to Toronto and play the Blue Jays on Tuesday. So the bottom line is the Red Sox have 4 games in 3 countries over the span of like 5 days, which is the stupidest schedule I've ever heard of. Now, I would love to hear from fans as to whether or not the games in London actually mean anything to you and whether you have any interest in them whatsoever. And I'm being dead serious. I would like to know whether you find these remotely interesting. So 617-779-0985. I wanted to just ask you that question before I got back to yesterday's game. And the other element in yesterday's game that everybody's overlooking, and that is the performance of the starting pitcher. So the Red Sox are running uphill out of the gate in this game. They're playing the Chicago White Sox at home, going for a sweep the day before a big trip, and their ace goes out to the mound and gives up 3 runs in the first inning and then a couple of more 2 innings later. So they're down 3-0. They get him a couple of runs to make it 3-2, and then he gives the runs right back. Chris Sale has not won at Fenway Park since the middle of last season, July 11th, I think it is, that he's last won a game at Fenway. And I heard this on the midday show today. The Red Sox will not be back at Fenway until July 12th at the earliest, which means Chris Sale will go an entire year without winning a game at Fenway Park. Not a calendar year, 365 days. Without winning a home game. The guy you just signed for 6 years and $140 million or whatever the number was. I don't even remember. Sale was asked about this after the game yesterday. Here's what he said.
For some reason, I suck here. I don't know what it is, but maybe for me, I think I only have one good game here. I don't know what it is. You know, I usually, the last couple of years, I felt like I've done pretty well here. We always have good crowds, and pitching at Fenway is always fun. But for whatever reason, I just haven't been able to put it together here.
And the other thing is that Sale has typically pitched well against his former team, the White Sox. Every time he has faced him, it feels like, I don't have the numbers directly in front of me, but I know that when he's pitched against him, he's pitched well. Sale has gotten up for his former team. He didn't yesterday. And for all of the things that are on the Red Sox list this year for why things have gone poorly for them, Chris Sale is near the top. I've said this over and over again, and you can make all the excuses for him that you want, but the bottom line is Sale has made 17 starts. He's not won a home game. I think he has 3 wins, and the Red Sox are 6-11 when he pitches. So, along with the bullpen, along with the general manager, along with the manager and the offense that can't get big hits with runners in scoring position, Chris Sale is on the list, and he's up higher than a lot of those other things. He's been a bigger factor in the Red Sox difficulties than the lineup has been, I'll tell you that. Again, do the math. Okay, do the math. The Red Sox right now, overall, are 6 games over .500. I think they're 44-38. In fact, that's exactly what they are. 44-38. And they are 6-11 when Chris Sale pitches. He has 3 effing wins. And those of you who want to evaluate pitchers by whip and, you know, strikeout to walk ratio, batting average against, on base percentage against, I'm with you. I'm with you on a lot of that stuff. Don't tell me the wins are irrelevant when it comes to evaluating a pitcher. Chris Sale should have won that game yesterday going away, and he lost it. And the loss is an indictment on him. So again, 44-38, and they're 6-11 with Sale when Sale pitches. If they were 11-6 instead of 6-11, and they should be, that's what you should go when your ace is on the mound. You should win two out of every three. In fact, it should be even better than that, but I'm being nice in this discussion. So when you look at it and you say if they were 11-6 instead of 6-11, you know what their record as a team would be? 49-33. They'd be 16 over. They would be four games out in the division. They would be on pace for 97 wins. For all of the things that have gone wrong with the Red Sox this year, if they had merely done what they were supposed to do when Chris Sale takes the ball, they'd be four games out and on pace for 97 wins. We wouldn't be talking about them as a potential wildcard team. We would say they still had a chance in the division. We would be talking about what they could pick up to fortify the bullpen. We would be talking about them being a historic team potentially and having the chance to win consecutive World Series, something no club has done in 20 years now, let alone do that while averaging over 100 wins a season, which would put them on historic ground. Chris Sale, don't let him off the hook. Sale's a big part of the problem here. He's been a big part of the problem all year. It got better in there for a little while, but the fact is he hasn't been good enough, and that has to change if they're ever going to make any noise. Really. Chris Sale, the bullpen, runners in scoring position, all of that. Don't leave Chris Sale off the list.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random 2x found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.